Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this day. We ask that you would calm our hearts and minds, help us to focus, that we might hear what you have to say to us from your word. Things that might be stressing us out, we give over to you now that we might hear from you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer is one thing that many people do, but not everyone is confident about. In a 2018 poll, it was reported that over half of UK adults pray, so getting up towards 60%, getting up towards two-thirds. And of those who did pray, 71% prayed for their family. 42% prayed in thanks to God for various things. 40% prayed for healing. 40% prayed for friends. And there were plenty of other matters which people prayed for as well. But not everyone who responded to the survey who prayed was confident to God. Henry, age 64, said that he prayed every night, kneeling by his bed, despite not being religious. It was very interesting, this little kind of interview that they did of Henry. He says, "I worry about it quite a lot. Is it some kind of insurance policy? Is it superstition? Or is it something more real?" Asked if he believed in God, this is Henry, the 64-year-old man, he said, "I don't know, but I would describe myself at the skeptical end of agnosticism. I certainly wouldn't classify myself as religious." He said that he starts by silently reciting the Lord's Prayer in his mind, and then he asks for his loved ones to be kept safe as well. He said, "Sometimes I include other specific people or suffering groups. Then I have a fuzzy moment about me, not concrete thoughts, and I don't ask for specific things." He said he had no idea if God heard his prayers. And he said the act of praying did not make him feel better. I find that very interesting, considering he does it every night, kneeling in his bed. And then he said, "I wonder why I don't stop doing it. Sometimes I feel like it's a kind of hypocrisy." Very interesting interview of this fellow. He seems to be very candid about what he's doing, but he's also his experience of it. I wonder whether you pray. I wonder what you think about God and when you're praying, how confident you are. Interestingly, for all those who prayed and who answered this survey, and this includes both religious people who kind of go to church and things like that, or those who are not so sure about God but nevertheless pray, just under half believe that God hears their prayers. Raises the question, doesn't it? Should I be confident in my prayers? Does God hear me? Does God care? Will God act? Now, our first Bible reading in Psalm 88, that was a bit dark. We're not really going to go into the details of that one, but that's kind of an experience. The Psalms are a portion of the Bible that are poems and songs and things like this. There's an experience there in that psalm of someone praying to God and going, "God, are you hearing me? I feel like I'm in the darkness here. Darkness is my closest friend." And he's kind of crying out. There's a desperate situation for the psalmist. But maybe you feel a bit the same. Should I be confident in my prayers? Well, this isn't just an issue of our time and perhaps for you. It was an issue in Jesus' day as well. And for Jesus, it's not merely, what Jesus points out, it's not merely a matter of just like keeping going in prayer. It's a matter of trusting the God who hears our prayers. It's a matter of understanding him. Understanding his plans in his world. And so let's look at what Jesus has to say in Luke chapter 18. And that's what we'll focus on. And the first point is, do not give up on praying. So if you weren't here last week, we've kind of come back into Luke's gospel and we're going to work our way through the next section of Luke's gospel. The gospels are accounts of Jesus' life. They're kind of written down records of what he did and said. Last week, we were considering Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God. And it highlighted two things. Firstly, the kingdom of God is present in your midst, is what Jesus said to the disciples and the Pharisees. And he's referring to a couple of things in the first instance. The kingdom of God was present in their midst because Jesus was God's Messiah King. And so where he goes, the kingdom goes. But then also every person that trusts in him makes up the kingdom of God. And that was then, and that's today. The kingdom of God is with those people. But then there's the question, you know, when is it going to come in its fullness? You know, it's pretty unimpressive, just people who trust in Jesus. There's not much of a kingdom. But he said, well, it's going to arrive in its fullness at his second coming. And that was not going to be the storming of the capital of Jerusalem and kind of kicking the Romans out or kind of other human powers. But rather it was going to be him returning to the earth to bring God's reign across the whole thing. God's goodness around the whole world. Justice, as Susan kind of started to highlight, that we desire around the whole world. Evil, sin, removed from the world. And Jesus said in the meantime, it would be hard for his disciples, hard for Christians, but nevertheless, we should persist. So that was last week. This week, we move on to prayer, and there's a natural connection to prayer, in fact. Because in this meantime, the Christian trusts in Jesus, awaits his return, and asks God for help. But when we pray, when we speak to God, sometimes it seems like we don't get it. Now, sometimes prayers are answered and I see it. I pray for something and then I go, oh, actually, that did happen. Sometimes prayers are answered. I'm just not paying attention because I didn't take note of what I prayed for and what God has done. But sometimes I definitely pray and nothing happens. Is God faithful? Is God just? There are lots of Christians around the world who are suffering, not for being idiots, sometimes that happens, but suffering just because they're a Christian. Places in the world where even the government persecutes Christians. Is God faithful? Is God just? Does God care? Well, the first big headline point to put up is that we shouldn't give up. Jesus gives us the action before the explanation. So we read this. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So Jesus says, keep praying, keep going, don't give up. What does that look like? It means to pray on your own. Maybe you pray on your own with planned prayers or maybe spontaneous prayers, you know. I think I was praying, I was ironing a shirt this morning. I didn't pray that it would like flatten out, but I was praying about church and other things like that. You know, I didn't plan to do that. You can pray with other people. Anglican church services have been traditionally called prayer services, so morning prayer. For instance, we join together with others in a church service and we pray together. Maybe you join together with others in a Bible study. You pray together. Or with two or three other people, you pray together. Meeting with others can help us to pray. God has given us one another to help us keep going. We certainly see the disciples of the early church meeting up regularly to pray. And I think a danger for Christians is that we kind of pit these different things against one another. Individual prayer or group prayer or prayers that are written down or prayers that are memorized and then kind of spoken aloud or spontaneous prayers. Whatever it might be, I don't think we should look down on one or the other as better or worse. They're all good. So long as when we do pray, we're trusting in God, each are good. So keep praying. But we don't keep praying as Stoics, you know, people who kind of, we've got to steel ourselves, you know, grit our teeth and just kind of buckle down and bang out these prayers and talk to God about our issues. No, Jesus doesn't put it like that. Rather, he turns us to the nature of God himself to encourage us to keep praying. This is the second part. God cares and God is just. So Jesus tells a story about a bad judge, verse 2. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what other people think. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now in Jesus' story that he tells here, take it as a made-up story, but we can certainly imagine this happening in real life, we aren't told what the injustice is against this widow. You know, perhaps someone owes her money, perhaps they've taken something from her. Whatever the case, she is powerless. As a widow, she has no husband, and it seems there's no kind of family either stepping in or any other people who are coming in to try and help advocate for her. But in this story, even if they did, this judge would not listen to them. And there's also no higher court, no higher power to appeal to that could force a change upon this judge. But what do we see? We see this woman with, you know, only a sliver of hope doggedly asking the judge for justice. Now, it's a sliver of hope because she can't appeal to his conscience. He's got no fear of God. She can't appeal to others. You know, he doesn't care what other people think. Now, other people might be stopped in their tracks here. You know, what's the use? What's the use of asking this judge? Surely I'm going to get nowhere, you might think. But what does she do? She kind of gets to work. She gets to work on this evil, unjust judge, and she comes at him again and again and again and again. You know, grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary. In Jesus' story, the judge holds out for a while, but eventually he gives in. And he gives the reason why. It's not because he's afraid of God's judgment against him. It's not because of other people's opinions against him either, but simply because she bothers him so much. Her persistence leads him to think she might come after him and attack him. She really wants justice. She's like a kind of dog after a ball, just like chasing it. And, you know, nothing is going to divert her attention from getting what she wants. Just recently, I had some success with an insurance company. Oh, pretty cool. One of our cars was kind of run into the back of by someone up at this roundabout that, you know, maybe insurance companies designed or whatever. But anyway, not uncommon. Anyway, in the incident, some details were recorded, but not all. It was one of those in-the-moment things. And before the repair was done, there was a request for an excess to be paid, you know, which I paid. And then our insurer deemed us not at fault. All right, excellent. After that, however, having paid $945, to be specific, no refund came through. Now, I called over the next year multiple... I mean, it wasn't like this woman, but like I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably give him a call. I'll give him a call. I check the website. I look at the thing, and it would say on my screen and also on their screen when I spoke to the people, not at fault, you know, no excess needed. But they wouldn't issue a refund. Anyway, I think I went at it for about a year, calling like every so often. I gave up. But after a year and a half, in December last year, we got $945 back. That was pretty good. Is God like that? You know, he takes your money. He gets your commitment. You're like, I'm in. I give my life to Jesus. I'm following Jesus. And then when it comes to the crunch, you know, we ask in prayer for... There's something going on. Where is he? You know, is God like that? Is Jesus telling us that God is like an unjust judge who will only bring us justice if we hound him? Is that what Jesus is saying? We need to be very careful here to note the shift that takes place in what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus is making a contrast. He's making a contrast here because he says, in fact, God is the opposite to this unjust judge. We need to note this carefully. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? The unjust judge does not care. But God cares. God cares. God cares for the people whom he loves, whom he sent Jesus for, whom Jesus died for. People who trust in him, people who are forgiven by him, people who long for God's kingdom to come in its fullness. People who pray to God day and night for all kinds of things. Jesus says, know that God will answer your prayers. Now, this woman in the story, her hope was very slender and she persisted. Jesus making the contrast, how much more will God, the just judge, bring justice for those whom he loves? So Jesus is saying, therefore persist with God. Our hope is not slender, but great. Jesus died and rose again. He beat death and evil and sin. Persist with God and know his love for you. But here's the thing. We need to mind the gap of the ages. Because we live and pray in this period before Jesus returns. And this kind of connects into last week. So it's kind of this big picture thing going on in these two passages. Our life now is a life lived by faith. That is, we don't get right now to see the fullness of the kingdom of God. So right now we live trusting. That's just what faith means. It just means to trust. We trust all kinds of things. We trust all kinds of people because we know what they're like. We trust that the car will steer when you want to steer it. You trust in it. And same with God. We know what he's like and we trust in him. It means that then, therefore we persist in prayer. We don't give up. For God answers prayers according to his will. Part of that means that some prayers are answered in the here and now. But some prayers are answered in the fullness of the kingdom of God then. When it comes in completely, more prayers will be answered. So Jesus says, verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. But here's the big issue that Jesus now raises and puts upon us. Are we ready for God answering all the prayers? You know, are we actually ready for that? Are we ready for God answering prayers of the world for justice in the world? Or, you know, as people say tritely, kind of, are we ready for God to bring world peace? You know, are we ready for that? So the last point is, will Jesus find you faithful? So if you kind of come back to thinking about prayer before entering back into the issue of are we ready, let's just think a little bit about prayer for a moment. If we think about a healthy relationship or marriage or friendship or whatever it might be, healthy communication between friends is an indicator of the health of that relationship. So too, speaking to God in prayer can reveal our faith in him and our relationship with him. Now, I want to say use this as a self-diagnostic and not a diagnostic tool to use on others, because I have seen Christians, and maybe you've experienced it or done it, Christians being judgmental about others when they do or don't pray around them, and so, or in their own preferred style of prayer, you know, the way in which they do it, and then they say, oh, that person's a great prayer, a terrible prayer, but actually, you know, you might see that they're praying in different circumstances. They don't see it. So what I'm saying is reflect on yourself. Don't just think about someone else. Reflect on your own prayer life. How is that going? And consider this. If you never ask things of God, perhaps that's a sign that you struggle to trust him. Well, I want to say the Bible teaches, and we're not going to get into the details, but we can see elsewhere in Jesus' teaching, we need to know that God is a good heavenly father beyond the best of human fathers. God loves to give good gifts, and Jesus says, most of all, the Holy Spirit, his own presence inside every Christian. So anyone who trusts in him is granted the Holy Spirit's transforming. Because at the heart of it, to give up on prayer is to give up on God. Now, look, I'm not stipulating frequency. Oh, you've got to do this many times. You know, Christianity, the Bible, does not mandate, say, like five prayers a day like Islam. Prayer is not a performance of submission to God. No, it's an expression of our relationship with him, as communicating with our friends and other people is. So it means if we kind of miss praying, or I thought I wanted to pray at this point in time, we don't need to book a catch-up session with God or anything like that. Nor do our words have some kind of magical effect or innate effect apart from our trust in God and our relationship with him. So Christian prayer is not mantras or repetition, you know, as if we needed to kind of get God to listen to us, or something special will happen. Now, the Bible says, and Jesus says, no, just ask. Just speak to God. Just ask God. He's listening. That's all you need to do. But what a drop in prayer may indicate is a drop in trusting in God, a drop in faith. And this indicates a problem. Jesus says, if we let go of God, we drop God completely before Jesus returns. So Jesus warns, and he says this: however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? Now, that is a very pointed thing that Jesus says. You know, we might ask the question, you know, does God answer prayers? And we think we're putting God on the hook. You know, come on, God, do some justice here. You know, we think we got him. But Jesus warns, God hears prayers, he will answer. But when God answers in completeness, when Jesus returns, when Jesus does show up, will you be ready? Will you be ready? The reason why God hasn't answered all people's prayers is because he's giving people a chance to turn back to him. So if I pray for some evil, to end, and God brings it, and he does that across the whole earth, I'd better make sure that I'm not the one to suffer at the hand of justice that I kind of cry out for. It's been put like this: better God's delay than the unreadiness of men and women. So then, are you ready? God is delaying returning. He's delaying acting on all prayers. He's delaying the removal of sin and evil and the bringing of complete justice for your salvation and other people's salvation. That's a sobering thought. But there's a bigger thing going on. There's a bigger thing that God is doing. If you do pray and you find some prayers unanswered, Jesus is kind of pointing out to us, we need to realize that it's on account of the mercy of God. God is giving you, others, a chance to receive God's compassion in Jesus Christ. God is not refusing some prayers outright, but he's timing their answer according to his plan of salvation. He's bringing mercy into the world before he brings justice. So to finish up, first off, if you haven't done it, trust in Christ and your contribution to evil in the world, as the Bible puts it, sin, will be forgiven in Christ through what he has done, who died for all who turn back to God and trust in him. And then once you're on the way with God, persist. Persist with Christ. Keep praying. God loves to hear your prayers. He answers them in part now. He'll answer them in full in the age to come, in the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no more evil or sin, sickness, suffering or pain, where every tear is wiped away by the Lord God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you would help us to trust in you. For some of us, it might be the first time. We might be just getting going in the last while. For others, it might be another day on a long journey of faith with you in our lives. We thank you that you reassure us of your love of us, and that you love to hear our prayers, and that you will answer them. We ask that in the tension of the ages and what is presently unanswered prayer, you would help us to persevere, looking forward to what is to come at Jesus' return. Amen.